From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on March 6, 2024, from my parents' house here on James Island, South Carolina.
Wow.
Nikki Haley, Republican presidential candidate and former governor, suspends her campaign following additional losses on Super Tuesday. We were there at her campaign headquarters on Daniel Island when she made the announcement, and we have reaction from longtime folks in Haley world, including her former Deputy Chief of Staff for Communications, Rob Godfrey, State Senator Tom Davis, State Representative Nathan Ballantyne, and Congressman Ralph Norman.
The Haley Sphere.
Nice.
The Lead loves hearing from everyone. That's why we have a voicemail box set up at 803-563-7169. You can leave us a message with hot takes, critiques, compliments, anything you want to talk about. 803-563-7169. We will be the arbiters of what you say, AT specifically. So make it good. 803-563-7169. And if you don't want to leave us a message, you can always give us a review on Apple Podcasts or go ahead and fill out that lead survey at southcarolinapublicradio.org/lead survey. Let us know what we're doing well, what we could be doing better. If you think you're better than me, if you think Mayan should have the podcast, if you think Meg should have the podcast, if you think AT should have the podcast, let me know. southcarolinapublicradio.org/lead survey. Former President Donald Trump swept nearly every one of the 15 Super Tuesday states on March 5th, with the exception of Vermont. The Green Mountain State and Washington, D.C. were the only two primary contests that former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley won in the primary process. Nearly a third of America was eligible to vote on Tuesday, and with Trump getting closer to the 1,215 delegates needed to effectively secure the nomination, Haley made her announcement before the media and staff at their Daniel Island campaign headquarters nearly 13 months after launching her bid. This 519-word speech is short, so instead of chopping it up and talking over it, I figured we'll go ahead and play it in its entirety, which is around 4 minutes.
Good morning. Just over a year ago, I launched my campaign for president. When I began, I said the campaign was grounded in my love for our country. Just last week, my mother, a first-generation immigrant, got to vote for her daughter for president. Only in America. I am filled with the gratitude for the outpouring of support we've received from all across our great country. But the time has now come to suspend my campaign. I said I wanted Americans to have their voices heard. I have done that. I have no regrets. And although I will no longer be a candidate, I will not stop using my voice for the things I believe in. Our national debt will eventually crush our economy. A smaller federal government is not only necessary for our freedom, it is necessary for our survival. The road to socialism is the road to ruin for America. Our Congress is dysfunctional and only getting worse. It is filled with followers, not leaders. Term limits for Washington politicians are needed now more than ever. Our world is on fire because of America's retreat. Standing by our allies in Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan is a moral imperative. But it's also more than that. If we retreat further, there will be more war, not less. As important, while we stand strong for the cause of freedom, we must bind together as Americans. We must turn away from the darkness of hatred and division. I will continue to promote all those values, as is the right of every American. I sought the honor of being your president, but in our great country, being a private citizen is privilege enough in itself. And that's a privilege I very much look forward to enjoying. In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July. I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us. I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind. It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that. At its best, politics is about bringing people into your cause, not turning them away. And our conservative cause badly needs more people. This is now his time for choosing. I end my campaign with the same words I began it, from the book of Joshua. I direct them to all Americans, but especially to so many of the women and girls out there who put their faith in our campaign. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for God will be with you wherever you go. In this campaign, I have seen our country's greatness. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, America. God bless you.
That was Nikki Haley there suspending her presidential campaign on Wednesday, March 6. While it was dreary outside, her staff was upbeat and steadfast. It's not like this was much of a shock to them, as it has always been a quixotic campaign for the former UN ambassador. Nevertheless, the speech read to me as a bless your heart to the Republican Party. Haley has said and done essentially all she could to prevent what she believes will be a Biden victory, citing polls and Trump's incredible amount of baggage. Now, if you're wondering if and when Haley endorses Trump, well, here was his post on Truth Social before Haley's speech. Quote, Nikki Haley got trounced last night in record-setting fashion, despite the fact that Democrats, for reasons unknown, are allowed to vote in Vermont and various other Republican primaries. Much of her money came from radical left Democrats, as did many of her voters, almost 50% according to the polls. At this point, I hope she stays in the race and fights it out until the end. I'd like to thank my family, friends, and the great Republican Party for helping me to produce, by far, the most successful Super Tuesday in history, and would further like to invite all of the Haley supporters to join the greatest movement in the history of our nation. All caps, Biden is the enemy. He is destroying our country. Make America great again. 3 exclamation points. We can't speak to the veracity of almost all those statements, but that was the former president there who is now essentially the presumptive nominee for the Republican Party. But for further analysis of this, I spoke with Rob Godfrey. Rob was in the governor's office with Haley and rose up to be her top spokesperson and deputy chief of staff for communications. You may remember that we last spoke with Rob at Reagan Washington National Airport when I was flying back from New Hampshire and he was flying back from D.C. after being on CNN the night before. Here's our conversation looking at Haley's past year, the speech she gave, and her future. Before we get into this speech, Rob, I wanted to get your perspective on this past year and where you saw Nikki Haley go from last February to now March, ending her campaign, how this campaign operated, how she capitalized on moments, and getting to be the last person standing between Donald Trump and the nomination. What were your takeaways from this past year, Rob?
Nikki Haley deserves a lot of credit. She ran a tough race. She stayed focused and disciplined. She predicted precisely when the polls would tighten. And in the end, she left the race in part on her own terms, talking candidly about what she cares about, but also as a result of the will of the voters, who simply preferred at this time in history to have Donald Trump as their leader as they look to take on Joe Biden, the incumbent president. I think that Nikki Haley gave everyone in South Carolina, whom she represented as their governor, and as a House member, something to be proud of. And she leaves this race with unlimited potential going forward. And so it'll be exciting to see what she does next.
Yeah, Rob, when you talk about her potential going forward, what do you make of her not immediately endorsing former President Donald Trump, who's now the presumptive nominee?
I don't make, a lot of it. Presidential races, any political race, to say nothing of presidential races, they're hard, they are tough, and they're about contrasts, and sometimes they get very personal. And so I think every candidate deserves the opportunity to sit back, decompress, talk to the people around them about what they want their next year to look like, and then decide exactly how they want to engage in the election going forward. So what Governor Haley did was she left herself all the room in the world to do exactly what she wants to do. That may be get involved in the presidential race as an endorser of President Trump. That may be working to get House and Senate candidates elected so that Republicans can expand their razor-thin majority in the House and perhaps take back the Senate. That may be simply talking about the issues that she cares about to audiences that are interested in those. She left the door open on all of those things, and I don't discount that she could do all of them or just pick the ones that are most palatable to her and the people around her, because that's what she has the interest and energy in doing. But I don't think there's any reason to read into not endorsing anybody immediately, because ultimately today was Nikki Haley's day. It was for her to be able to leave the race in the way she wanted to, focus on the issues that she's most passionate about, and then take some time out to go and figure out what the next few months and the next year look like for her.
When you look at where the party is right now and how she's been kind of talking about these warning signs going forward, should there be a matchup of former President Trump versus Joe Biden this November, which is how it's going right now, do you think that she holds some cards going forward, like we're talking about her future in terms of what 2028 could look like, if she has to say, "I told you so," in so many words?
Well, I don't think that she's focused on the next election for herself at all right now. I think she's focused on the issues that she talked about in the campaign and how she can continue to have a loud voice on those and drive the conversation on those. And I think that in terms of any sort of red flags for Republicans as a result of a contested primary, I think that's a little bit overplayed. I think there are red flags on both sides for both candidates, because ultimately, regardless of what you think of either one of the people who look like they're on a trajectory to be the nominees for their party, they are some of the least popular nominees in the history of American politics. So it is the job of each of them to welcome people who are disaffected by one candidate or another, or by their own parties, into their campaigns over the next 8 months or however many months it is. It's the job of both former President Trump and President Biden to do that, to be welcoming, to be listeners, and to be responsive to the needs and to the issues that these voters care about, whether they are people who voted for Nikki Haley over Donald Trump, or they are people who voted for Joe Biden's opponents in the primary. I think we're set up for what could be a very polarized, nasty presidential campaign, but it doesn't have to be that way if both candidates decide and their teams decide that they are going to try to make it a game of addition and not subtraction.
But Rob, that message just doesn't seem to resonate with people for some reason. I mean, is it because we're just in a after Trump political world where it's us versus them, it's more polarized, there's all or nothing campaigns, zero-sum campaigns, essentially, where you are either with Donald Trump or you are a rhino, essentially?
So President Trump, without question, has weaponized grievance among Republican voters. He's tapped into an emotion, into an anger that resonates in the base of the Republican Party. And so that posture in and of itself is not welcoming to people. It's why in voting for Nikki Haley, I don't know that she was a candidate who was a never Trump candidate, or a candidate whose entire candidacy was defined by an opposition to Trump. But what it was a candidacy that was a departure in style from the candidacies of many of the other candidates who ran. It was a softer tone. It was a softer style. It was one that sought to be more inclusive, and it presented a, you know, breath of fresh air for not an insignificant number of voters in some of these early primary states. But ultimately, that wasn't the style, and that wasn't the vision that won out. Mm-hmm. President Trump overwhelmingly won Republicans and conservatives in this primary process. His vision for the party, his style, and his personality won out. And so there's what needs to happen is that there needs to be a balance between Trump and his style and his authenticity and being a party that welcomes people into the fold, because there is obviously a swath of people out there who are disaffected from, alienated from the traditional Republican Party or from the candidate himself, who he's going to have to win over in order to win the White House back.
Yeah, and Rob, looking into your crystal ball and wrapping up here, where do you see Nikki Haley's future going? She's 52 years old, basically, you know, a teenager compared to Joe Biden, who's 81 years old, Donald Trump, who's 77 years old. What's her future looking like if you could look into that crystal ball of yours?
You know, regardless of the results of the primary, I think her future's bright, and that's irrespective of what the race 4 years from now shapes up like. She's relatively young. She's unquestionably a talented messenger, and she has tremendous earning capacity in the private sector, a nearly bottomless supply of personal political capital that she can decide to spend on candidates if she wants to, including Republicans up and down the ballot this cycle, and interest, I'm sure, from businesses, corporate boards, and think tanks, all of which are going to want to hear about her experience in this race and her vision for the future. Mm-hmm. So I think the future is bright for Nikki Haley. The open question is what the future of the Republican Party looks like. And that's where Trump has led a fundamental realignment of the party. And candidates like Nikki Haley, who have a certain worldview, will be mainstream in the Republican Party again, or whether it's going to be a populist party in the vein of Donald Trump, as it has been over the last now three nominating cycles, and what that party looks like and what that party looks for in candidates. That will be in part answered by whether Donald Trump wins the general election. And that will also be answered in part if he wins the general election by who he leaves legacy to, which will be the person he chooses as his vice president.
Again, that was Rob Godfrey, a longtime Haley aide. Thanks as always to him making time for us. And Rob told me that he bumped an MSNBC hit just to speak with us. So we love to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you become a friend of the pod, folks. Hit a little quid pro quo. Earlier on Wednesday, we heard from 5th District Congressman Ralph Norman, who was up until a few days ago the only member of Congress to endorse Haley. That was before Alaska Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski and Maine Republican Senator Susan Collins, who came out in support of Haley ahead of their state's respective primaries on Super Tuesday. Norman, who campaigned with Haley across the country, has endorsed Trump and said this on Fox & Friends this morning when he was asked about Haley getting out and whether she'll eventually endorse Trump.
Well, as far as getting out, the timing, you know, was right. The Democratic process played out. And, you know, the people have spoken. I do think she will fully endorse President Trump. If not, you know, today she will, because we got a country to save. It's bigger than anything we have ever seen. This isn't about personalities. This is about really saving America. So I think she will. I think it, you know, she's never been beaten before because of she's a great candidate, and I think she will. At the end of the day, she will come on board.
Will you actually endorse Donald Trump?
Who, me? Oh, absolutely. I'll be calling him this morning. I called him before, you know, I endorsed Governor Haley.
Congressman, do you expect Nikki Haley at some point to be on the campaign trail with Donald Trump?
You know, I don't know about that. I mean, I think everybody has got to come together now. I mean, look at what the stakes are. Now, whether it's physically on the trail or not, that's for Nikki.
Will you encourage her to be on the campaign trail with Donald Trump?
Oh, absolutely. This is, again, we've got one shot at saving this country. Mm-hmm. And now's the time to everybody needs to get behind it. This isn't about personalities. This is about this country. And people know this. And so I think she will. You know, what form it takes, I don't know. I'll be speaking with her later on, but I would certainly encourage it.
Thank you to Scott Morgan for getting me that sound. And we had some more teamwork on this pod with Mayon Schechter grabbing me some interviews with Haley's biggest supporters in the statehouse, including Chapin Republican Nathan Ballantyne.
Looking at her entire presidential run, what are you most proud of? I mean, obviously, it was an uphill battle, kind of stacked against her given the former president's popularity. What are you most proud of her presidential campaign?
I mean, I'm proud that she didn't back down. I mean, she's never backed down. She's been a fighter from the get-go. You know, not many people really outside of South Carolina knew who she was. Obviously, she was an ambassador, but she had little name recognition, and she hung in there till, you know, the very end. I mean, it's obvious now that former President Trump is going to be the GOP nominee, but she didn't. She gave everybody an opportunity. You know, that's what she kept saying. There are people out there that wanted an option. Our party is supposed to be about growing the Big Ten. And that's what she tried to do. I mean, I think she's got a future. She's a bright new generation. So we'll see what she does next. So.
Given that you mentioned it, do you think the tent is big enough right now? Do you think the party is unified right now?
No, not at all. You know, I think people will want to say it is. And obviously, you know, Republicans want to take back the White House. I hope we'll be able to do it. But I think it is about addition, not subtraction. You know, I've been around long enough to understand you just can't go around burning bridges all the time when you're eventually going to need them one day. I would imagine President Trump, I mean, primaries, it's fist fights and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I would imagine that people around him, if not him, are at least going to understand, hey, here's what we got to do to win November. And I hope that's going to happen, obviously.
President Biden had a statement today in response to Trump basically saying, you know, he doesn't feel like his campaign is big enough for Nikki Haley supporters. My campaign is big enough for Nikki Haley supporters.
Oh, did he?
I'm curious, where does your endorsement land?
Well, I mean, my pick for president is Nikki Haley. And I'm disappointed that she won't be on the ballot. But, you know, I mean, Republicans are going to have to figure this out. You know, I mean, we've seen the struggles that we have. You see the divisiveness. You see it here on the state level. You know, and I mean, it can always be good. Debates are always good. It's unfortunate we didn't have a debate between Trump and Nikki. We'll have presidential debates and the country can see Trump and Biden. I think it's just natural in primaries, everybody get in their camp, throw punches and stuff like that. But I think when it's all said and done, we've got to coalesce and figure out how to do this. And I think emotions will tamper a little bit and some rhetoric will go away. I don't think you'll hear bird brain mentioned anymore from our president, but President Trump, but we'll see. That remains to be seen.
It sounds like you're still struggling on whether to support Trump in November.
Well, I mean, I'm a Republican, so, you know, I definitely want to make sure we have a change in the White House. So plenty of time between now and November, and I look forward to seeing how we can get the party all together on the same page. We need that.
And Mayon also got this reaction from Beaufort Republican Senator Tom Davis, who, along with Ballantyne, were with Haley in Iowa. You may remember Davis drove from Charlotte to Iowa following flight delays and cancellations due to the snowy conditions out there. Here was Davis's initial reaction to Haley dropping out and his thoughts on the future of the Republican Party.
Let me ask you this. Obviously, you've been a staunch supporter of hers throughout her presidential campaign and before that. What are you most proud of as far as her presidential campaign goes?
I mean, first of all, it takes an incredible amount of courage in the context of a presidential primary with the media scrutiny that goes along with it to stick by your convictions and to make your case to the American people. So, first of all, I'm proud of my friend for having that courage. Second of all, I'm very grateful that she is giving a voice to many in the Republican Party who believe in individual liberty, believe in limited government, believe in a positive American presence abroad, believe in fiscal responsibility, traditional Republican values. She's the one articulating them. And so I think she's giving voice to a lot of members of the Republican Party.
Do you think that she has a political future past this?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anybody as compelling and as persuasive and as principled as Nikki Haley is going to have a future in politics. I mean, sometimes we get caught up in the politics of the moment and we try to imagine what things might be. But she is a known political commodity. She's an extremely effective advocate. She's a popular two-term governor. Of course, she has a future.
Mm-hmm. President Biden put out a statement today basically saying if former President Donald Trump doesn't want Haley supporters, they are welcome to come on board his campaign. I'm curious, are you endorsing Trump or are you going to sit out and until November make a decision?
I'm a Republican. I mean, I support Republican principles. I support the Republican Party. I'm particularly interested in seeing what the Republican platform is adopted at the convention this year. I expect and hope that it will continue to have things like lower taxes, fiscal responsibility, controlling entitlements. I've been a Republican. I believe in those things, and I anticipate the party being for those.
Do you have any concerns about Trump being at the top of the ticket?
I mean, my candidate was Nikki Haley. I think she articulates, my view of what the Republican Party stands for better than anybody else.
Again, a special thanks to Mayan for helping me out from the State House, grabbing those two while also keeping an eye on everything else. Don't worry, we'll be back soon. It's almost like she's trying to be a podcast host. I have to stop this somehow. I mean, thanks, Mayan. Great work. Welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. We're glad you're here. A.T. Shire, producer of The Lead podcast, I'm glad you're here as well as always.
Thank you so much. Yes, it was tough squeezing this into my schedule. You know, I had a very busy schedule today.
Why, A.T.? Tell us why.
I came to this recording straight from a cat photo shoot. So... My priorities were right. I barely made this one. I made time for the cat photo shoot. This
Thank
is very
you.
Secondary to my in my day because the cat glamour shoot is, I mean, that's forever.
Feline, you know, podcast, photo shoot.
Podcasts, yeah. They're very temporary,
temporal,
ephemeral.
Just, yeah.
You know, the cat photo shoot is forever. That's going to go in the annals of history as one of the greatest things I've ever done.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, Gavin.
I've seen the photos. Totally worth it. I'm glad that you made time for us because... Reginald, to people that don't know him, just looked fantastic.
He glows. He really just he finds his light. He knows his angles. He's beautiful.
Have to, you know, just so that people can see him, we'll have to put the photos on the Lead Instagram account.
That's
which
fine.
I've been a little negligent on, folks. I haven't been keeping it up as much just because I've been a little busy. You guys know.
Hey, respectfully, I've been busy. No disrespect. I've been busy. No disrespect.
Okay. All right. Okay. Sorry.
But the cat photo shoot is snapping Gavin straight back in. He saw the pictures and he's dialed. Okay. Anyway, speaking of dialing, we've been called. What a transition. Are you ready, Gavin, for a call from abroad, from an OG
abroad?
Listener? From overseas,
over
the pond.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we are big.
Yeah,
we've been on the international charts. So, yes.
Right, here we go.
Gavin, AT, bonjour, bonjour. This is one of your original OG leaders, Towner McGill from Mount Pleasant, calling you live from Paris, France. Yes. I put a lot of quarters into the payphone, and I'm sending my message back across the pond. I've been somewhat absent from being participatory with the Lead, and for that I apologize. It's been a rather busy 2023 for me as I stepped up some travel for work, which should mean that I have the ability to listen to the Lead podcast more frequently, but it didn't turn out that way. So I've made a New Year's resolution of catching up and staying on top of what's going on, and so far, so good. I've really enjoyed watching Gavin's adventures in Iowa and New Hampshire and elsewhere on the campaign trail. Lots of love to his Volvo that cut through the ice like a Swedish butter knife. Enjoyed that reference. Looking forward to more as we get deeper into the election season here this year. And, just trying to stay at home a little more for 2024. So hope you're doing well. I am out sampling as many European beers as possible and not as impressed as I thought I'd be. Looking forward to a delicious New England IPA when I get home. But anyway, hope you're doing well and look forward to seeing you guys in Charleston for another live taping soon. It's been quite a while. Take care. Be well.
Towner, bonjour, merci. That's all I got. We need Meg Kinnard here to be our official English to French translator for us. Les incompetents.
That's just what they said to you when you were over there. That's but what they we keep, don't know
that's
what it
means. They always tell me. Yeah. You know, I've never been to Paris before, but Paris. I have been to Nice, which is nice, and I've been to Marseille. Yeah. I've been to the French Riviera, of course.
Of course, you summer there.
Well, I mean, I don't want to brag about it. No, I never really travel during peak seasons. I love doing the bumpers, September, October. That's the way to go. Less crowds, etc.
You're a value man, through and through.
Well, you know, I have values. I have morals. I am an upstanding citizen of this country. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you're a world citizen. A global citizen.
Now people are they're going to call us globalists. Say, too, we can't just go out and do that. But what a great New Year's resolution for him to listen to us more. I know sometimes people stray from us. That's okay. You're always welcome to come back. It's like a soap opera here.
Arms wide
you
open.
You can just pick it back up. You can
as
pick
long
it back
as
up.
You're tithing, as long as you're
as long
tithing,
as you're tithing
to the pod.
And supporting the Patreon, we don't care. You know, it's fine. $20 a month. $200 a month, you know, we'll take it.
Any amount is good as long as it's over $200 a month.
Yeah, that's all it is. But AT, he asked, you know, just hope that everything's going well. You know, what do you guys, and I'm hearing from a lot of folks too, like, oh, what are you going to do now? I said, you know, South Carolina, the news never stops, especially politics here. We have plenty going on in the congressional delegation. We have primaries coming up this June, not just only for the congressional delegation, but also for the state house. We have 170 folks in the state house that are up.
Bro, budget.
All
budget,
this
bro.
We got budget. I mean, there's budget. Plenty of stuff going on. I'm going to rededicate my focus to the State House in Columbia.
That
up
is
until
your
sunny
New
day.
Year's resolution?
I've had a couple I don't really want to talk about. I don't want to talk about them. No, I'm kidding. I didn't really make any resolutions. I kind of stopped making resolutions. I just kind of try and be best writ large.
Hashtag, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude, lean in.
Since we heard from Baby's mama the other day, I've been aware of my caffeine consumption.
Oh no.
I'm not like it's not bad. Everything's fine. Everything's going fine. but I think I'm gonna maybe scale back a little. I've been trying to scale back, but it's hard. Like I'm not getting
maybe that first thing out of bed caffeine pill is where you that's I would say first cut.
Now let
you
me
know?
Just go ahead and take a swig of
he's taking a sip of Celsius right now. Oh, Caitlin and I, we went to the grocery store the other day, Publix on Rosewood in Columbia. The Celsius cans are in like the health aisle.
Yes. It is
they
health.
Aren't with the other energy drinks.
Of course
and
not.
I think that is absolutely negligent on many people's part.
Well, depending on how you read the can and the label, it can help by boosting your body's metabolic rate, asterisk.
Okay.
I don't really believe it all. I don't really believe
asterisk
all that.
Doing a heavy lift with that asterisk.
And then I also read some research on the internet, actual research, like
very
NIH
true
stuff
on the internet. I'm hearing.
About caffeine and cortisol.
Oh yeah,
yeah. You don't want high cortisol, so there is some sort of interaction between too much caffeine and higher cortisol rates. So. Just trying to wean off. I don't think I need
Dr.
as much
Gavin.
Of it now.
Dr.
Yeah,
Gavin's
well, we need our doctors.
Caffeine corner.
Spelled with a K, a backwards K.
Hey, be careful. Be careful.
But no, it was funny because I'm down here at my dad's house because I was, you know, I'm taking a couple of days off. As you guys know, we're just doing one pod this week. AT, you got things going on too this week. So we're like, let's just take a day, take a couple days. But I was rewatching my shows. I only ever watched like This Week in South Carolina when I'm down here.
Incredibly
and I watched the DVR.
Humble of you. Incredibly
well,
humble.
Well, I do it to
you.
Make sure, you know, like, how's it look?
Quality control.
But yeah, quality control, very after the fact.
He comes back and yells at us all.
Why did you let me do that? But I was watching like the Iowa show and the New Hampshire show that I put together in the field and just thinking, how in the world did I do that? Like January was just an absolute blur. As you know.
The gifts of Celsius, I would
say. That's it. That's what it was.
Anyway, that puts a great bow on this. Gavin, go get back into your hyperbaric coffin that you sleep in there, okay? You will wake up in a few days, and who knows?
Yes.
Who knows what you'll have taken by then? It'll be fun, okay? Anyway, I say bye to you, Gavin, the godfather of my yet unborn child.
Oh, my God. For real?
No. No, absolutely not.
Okay, you don't have to say it like that. Jeez.
Absolutely not. No,
I guess your brother
would
be
not.
The godfather, right?
I don't even know if we're doing that stuff. Anyway,
then I
Gavin,
don't feel so bad now.
Hit the credits. The honorary godfather
you,
of my
if you want
to
be the godfather of AT's baby, give us a shout. 803-563-7169.
Up those tithes.
Plead your
up
case in 3 minutes. And let us know.
We are giving it away. We are.
We are going to auction off the godfather rights here. And if you don't want to do that, leave us an Apple Podcast review. We love that too. You can also hop on southcarolinapublicradio.org/lead survey and give us your review of the lead. And if you want, be like Towner, give us a shout, 803-563-7169. We love that too. And always stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Excuse me, I'm doing a pod, okay?
No, I'm a podcaster. You can't just talk to me like that.
Are you crazy?